Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the summit of Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, yes, yes. I'm back, y'all. And I have to say just before we get started, I want to thank everybody that has been praying for me. I know a lot of people have not been hearing me on the Spirit Alive Network, and if you've been following me on Facebook, I haven't really been saying much on Facebook either. And the reason for that is because I've been going through a very, very big storm in my life. Some of y'all know parts of it. I don't like to share things that I'm going through at the time, because me personally, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't feel that it is always appropriate to share everything at the time that you're going through, because you might damage somebody. And so when you go through, sometimes you have to go through in silence. Sometimes you have to go through just not saying a word to anybody but your leader, which is your pastor or whoever your leader might be, and just God and those that are in your spiritual circle, I guess. But I thank God for what He is allowing me to go through. I thank God for the test. I thank God for the trial. I thank God for the storm, because in the midst of the storm, He is allowing me to see who He truly is. I will say this storm that I'm going through, I've never been through it before. This is a mighty, mighty, mighty storm in my life, but I thank God that I know He is the master of every storm. He is the master that will still the storm. And so today, this brings me to the topic today, and it's a topic, but it's more of an encouragement to people that are going through. And it's more of letting us know that God is still able to do what He said He was going to do in our lives. He said He would never leave us. He said He would never forsake us. He said even if we make our bed in hell, He's there. So this topic today is something that I'm really seeing in my life. I've seen it before. It's just that it's a different test for me. So, but just rely on the power of God. To simply rely on the power of God to simply know that He can carry us through the storms of life. If I could read a scripture to you, it would be Psalms 46. And we would start at verse number 1. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried upon the midst of the sea. This is something that we must understand. I like the first verse. I know I was talking about the first, you know, we was going to start at verse number 1 and read on down, but I like verse 1. It's very simple. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When you look at your problems and you look at your troubles in life, and I'm not speaking from a place that I've never been. I'm in it right now. So when I'm talking to you all, I'm talking to you in a place of where I'm at right now. And the troubles of our lives, the problems of our lives, the issues of our lives, we have to understand that God is still able. Even though it might look like that there is no way out, even though it might look like, okay, I'm getting ready to be hit, and I mean hit, even though the fire might look like you're getting ready to be burned to crisp, even though it looks like the lions are going to tear you to shreds, but we have examples in the Word of God that the lions didn't tear Daniel to shreds. The lions, he used the lions as a mattress and a pillow. He did, and we see that the three Hebrew boys, when they went through a natural fire, they went into the fiery furnace. And when the king looked in, when King Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire, and he saw the three Hebrew boys in the fire, but yet he said, he asked his people around him, he asked them, didn't I throw three people in there? And they told him, yeah, you know, I'm paraphrasing. They told him, yeah, you threw the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you threw them in there. And he said, but as I look in there, I see a fourth person. And the fourth person looks like the Son of God. Don't ever think that what you go through in your life, that God is not there. He may not, you might pray, you might be praying for an answer, and God may not answer you yet. But I guarantee you that God will answer. It reminds me of a place that I was in years ago in my life, and I was asking God, why? Why, Lord? Why am I going through? Not to question God, because sometimes people might think, you know, why'd you ask why? You know, why are you questioning God? Why are you? No, I wasn't questioning him. I was just trying to get an answer. See, there's a difference between questioning him and asking him, you know, lately, why? Why is this going on? Like, I want to know to get an answer. in those moments, we are allowed to ask why. You're allowed to ask why. Just don't question God. But you're allowed to ask why. Why am I, what did I do something? Am I being tested? Am I being tried? Are you allowing my life to be used as a walking Bible for others? What is it? Why am I going through this? The same thing with Job. The people around him thought that he had sinned. He must have done something to get all this. I mean, everything that Job went through. Everything that Job went through, we've talked about it on the show before. Everything that Job went through, he went through it. But he went through it in one day. He lost everything he had, his children, his wealth, his possessions. Lost it all in one day. Now, we know that the scriptures say that as far as death is concerned, he didn't lose his wife. But you might as well say he did, because his wife didn't believe in him anymore. He, like, why don't you curse God? And his wife told him, why don't you curse God and die? She turned on him. His friends turned on him. He didn't physically lose his wife to death, but he lost his wife for believing in what he went through. You know, you had those people. You know, when you're going through, you look for people to, I don't want to say baby you, but you're looking for that support system.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
He didn't have that. He didn't have that support system in his wife. And the biggest support system, if you're married, you look to your spouse. Amen? But Job didn't have that. He was in it literally by himself. He was literally in it alone. And sometimes God will put us in a place where we have to do this alone, where we have to go through it alone, where and what I mean by you have to go through it alone, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go through it alone naturally, because you might have those people praying for you and things like that. Not talk about it like that. I'm talking about when you go through it alone, I'm talking about you're going through it by yourself and nobody else can get you out but God. Nobody else can get you out but God. Nobody else can do it but him. You know that it will be. You know for a certainty that if you get out of this, ain't nobody got you out of this but God. Nobody else. And you have to give him the glory. Sometimes challenges, we go through tests, we go through issues in our life that God puts us in a place like that. But we have no one to turn to, no one to ask for help, no one to mother, father, sister, brother, wife, husband, cousin, whoever it might be, we can't go to them for help. They can pray, but that's all they can do. That's it. That's all they can do is pray. That's all we can do from, that's all we can ask from them is pray for me. That's it. And when we get to those places in our life, that is, and it's funny because before the start of the show, and it's very, very funny because me and Bishop Cook were talking, and it's very funny. She mentioned to me, you know, the time that Paul and Silas were in prison. You know, the Bible says then at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God.
Yes, come on.
We have our midnight hour. And the thing is, they didn't start praising him at 11:50. They didn't start praising him at 11:55. The praises didn't start ringing out at 11:59. But they rang out at midnight. The next morning. The next morning, not at 11:50, not at 11:55, not at 11:59, 1 minute before midnight. 1 minute before midnight. And Bishop Cook was saying to me, you're at that 1 minute at 11:59. Yeah. And I remember, and it's funny that she said that, because I remember a sermon years ago, back when I was, oh my God, I had to been, oh Lord, I don't even remember. 13, 14 years old, somewhere in there, maybe 16, I don't know. But Bishop William L. Harris from Victory Tabernacle Apostolic Church here in Indianapolis came to my former church one night for our pastor's pre-anniversary service. And the title of his message was 11:59. And that message still reigns with me even to this day.
Amen.
What I mean, I said all that to say this. You might be at your 1 minute of the test of your life. You might be in a test where, like I said, nobody but God can get you out of. And you might have been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for answers. And God has not said anything. God sometimes does this. He won't say a word. Sometimes he won't say a word until after the test is over. I've been there, done that. You might say, well, why won't he say anything? I don't know. I can't answer that. I have no answer for that. But I do know he does answer, whether he answers the beginning, whether he answers in the middle, or whether he answers at the end of the test. Does not matter. He gave you an answer. And when that answer comes, he'll let you know why you went through that test. I remember during the problems and the issues with my heart, I said it on the show before, I went through and I asked God, why? Why am I going through this, Lord? Why? And the Lord never answered me. And I'm sitting over here struggling. I'm like, wait a minute, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm doing everything I can. Why am I going through this again? And you know the Lord didn't answer me until after the test was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting over here struggling. I mean, I'm thinking I'm about to lose my life. But I remember what he said about Job.
Mm-hmm.
When the enemy came to God and said, if you just move your hand, he'll curse you to your face.
Mm-hmm.
And God told the enemy, you can take everything from him,
but you can't kill him, Jesus.
But
hallelujah.
You cannot touch his life.
Can't touch him.
And there are some things that we are going through where God has said, you can take everything from him, you can take everything from her, but you can't touch her life. You can't touch his
life. That's right.
I control that. See, God controls that. God has the final say over what happened to our lives. All this materialistic stuff. See, this is where I get confused about preachers sometimes. A lot of preachers like preaching messages about getting materialistic stuff. And I've said this on the show before, and y'all know me.
You better get some spiritual stuff down in Jesus. Hallelujah.
I will call. Y'all know me. I will call it out. Y'all know me. It's time for preachers to stop preaching this materialistic mess all the time.
Yes, yes. Please tell it. Tell it. Say it loud for the people in the back. Say it loud for the people in the back.
It's time for these preachers to stop preaching prosperity messages. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Prosperity messages are good.
Spiritual prosperity. Yes.
Amen.
But you can't prosper on this earth. You can't prosper on this earth without your soul prospering first.
That's right. Come on now.
Because if your soul is not prospering, you're not going to make it to heaven. And you can have all the materialistic stuff you want to, but that's not going to get you into heaven. That is not, and I'll repeat it again, I'll repeat it till God comes back. Materialistic stuff, these preachers that are prophesying businesses and this stuff and that, it ain't going to get you into heaven. It's not. Those, let me show y'all what that is. Those are blessings from God that God allows us to have, but he really wants us. Those are the benefits. Those are nothing but benefits when you take on the name of Jesus. Those are benefits once you become saved. And you might say, well, I had this business way before I got saved. What are you talking about? But it prospered more when you got saved, didn't it? You might have had a business, or you might have had that car, or you might have had that house, or you might have had them clothes or whatever that amount of money, but it didn't have much value to it, because let me show y'all something. The Bible says he reigns over the just as well as the unjust. So he's going to bless you regardless. But I remember a preacher. He's an elder now. And he said sometimes people that are in church, that are walking with God, striving, you know, then we got those people that are play striving.
Come on.
But they know the power of God, but they're denying the power. They're denying it. They don't walk in the power. So what happens is sometimes those people that are playing church, God has fired them, and they don't know that they fired.
Come on.
Amen.
God has fired them, and they don't know that they fired. Why do you say that, minister? Well, let me show you something. God still lets you preach. You still have a gift and a calling, because gifts and callings come without repentance. You can have a gift and have a calling, but your gift and your calling, it doesn't mount to a hill of a beam. It says you are like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. If there is no anointing, then there is nothing behind your gift. I don't know why I'm going here. If you do not have the anointing, if yokes are not being broken, you are as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals.
Man.
That's where it comes into play that God has allowed you to minister, but you're fired. Fired, but
mm-hmm.
don't even know it.
All
You've
right,
lost
come
the anointing.
On.
You've lost the anointing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't even know
yeah.
it.
Don't even know it, my Lord, my God.
You've lost your zeal, but don't even know it.
Don't even know
you've
it,
lost,
my Lord and
you
my
don't
God.
Even know it. You don't even know it because people are telling you, people are patting you on the back and say, you preach.
Come on, minister. Come on, minister.
You preach. Oh, Lord, the power of God was all over that place. Some people bring the power with them.
When you preaching, come on.
When you see people getting saved, see, I said it like this. I said it like this in a sermon one time. When you have the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
people should be able to feel you.
Yes.
Yes.
When you
Amen.
Have the Holy Ghost, when you have the power of God on the inside of you, people should be able to feel you, whether they saved or not.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Whether they saved
Amen.
Or not.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Come on now.
Because the Holy Ghost is a consuming what? Fire.
Fire.
It will consume
Fire.
The sin that is in a person's life. It will consume. That's why we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost burns out the sin that is in our life.
You better teach up in here, young man. Come on.
If we allow it to.
Yes. There it is.
This part of my life now is I'm learning how, the songwriter says, I'm learning how to live holy. I'm learning how to live right. I'm learning how to suffer. Sometimes we have to suffer to see
Amen.
The power of God in our life. And if we look, if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. Sometimes
yes.
people
Hallelujah.
Christ, they want the blessing, they want the benefit, they want heaven.
Come on,
but they
come
don't
on.
Want to suffer.
You say
they
that.
They do not want to suffer. Jesus suffered.
All right now.
He did.
Even unto
yes.
the cross. Jesus suffered. Before he went
yes.
to the cross, he suffered.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
If you do
My
not
Lord.
Believe me, look in the Word of God where in
yes,
the Garden of Gethsemane, he suffered.
What? Mm-hmm.
He suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Bless
he
your
said, let this cup. If it be thy will, let this cup pass,
this cup
from,
pass
me.
From me. Yes.
He did not want his flesh. Now, the spiritual side of God wanted to die for the sins of mankind, but the earthly side of him did not want to die.
Right.
And some of us don't, the earthly side of us don't want to go through the test and the trial, nor the issues of our life. And it's okay. It's all right. Nobody wants to feel pain. Nobody. I get it. I don't want to. The thing that I am going through right now, and I'm being transparent right now. The thing I'm going through right now, I don't want to go through that. It hurts. It's painful. I understand. But we have to say, like God said in the Garden of Gethsemane, we have to stand strong on the word of God. When the devil comes to us with every trick in the book, it's the same. Look, let me show y'all something. I said it. God is the devil is a con artist. He paints up a beautiful picture before us. But let me show y'all something. Those that know your enemy, it's just like being in the military. My dad was in the military for 10 years. And the thing that he said to us in the church, since he's our pastor, he said, you have to know your enemy. You can't go into war with your enemy unless you know him. That's why in the military they strategize. That's why in the military they learn the enemy before they go into battle. They don't just go into battle just not knowing anything about the enemy that they were getting ready to fight. What do? They get ready. It's a preparation to the leading up to the battle. Even in the spiritual, there's a preparation.
Yeah.
You don't think there's a preparation in the spiritual too? Ask Gideon. Ask Gideon. When Gideon was getting ready for the battle, and a battle that he really, that God set up where he didn't have to fight. Amen? we have to understand that we have to strategize. And the only way we strategize, there are three main ingredients to strategizing to conquer the enemies of our lives. Is there's three things, three main ingredients: prayer, fasting, and the Word of God. We have to stay in the Word. We have to stay prayed up. We have to stay fasted up, because these three things will help us fight. These three things will help us fight. Now, there's more into it, such as praise and worship and you know, giving and all that stuff. We understand that stuff. We know that stuff. But there's three main ones that the Lord calls for us to do. That's why it says, study to show thyself approved. We have to stay in the Word of God. We learn things. We might read the same scripture 10 times and learn something different every time. You might have read Psalms 23 over and over again and wondering why. Wait a minute, I just read this scripture. What in the world is going on? Why? I didn't get that before. What's going on? I didn't understand that before. And now I'm understanding it better. I didn't get that out of that verse before. And now you got Psalms 23. You read in Psalms 23 and you understand it better. That's why it's good to stay in the Word of God. You're strategizing your enemy. I don't know who I'm talking to today. See, right now, it is a time to strategize with God who your enemy is. And you have to understand who your enemy is. Let me show y'all something. In the Bible, when God was dealing with people, do you understand this? He never, ever called the people, I'm talking about the people, the enemy. He never called them the enemy. When he was casting out demons, he was talking to, that was his enemy. That was his enemy. It wasn't the person themselves that was the, and the reason why I say that is because we as people of God, and we as whatever you want to call yourself, sinner, saint, whatever, we take it out on the individual. You want an example? I'll give you one. Even if you don't want one, I'll still give you one.
Sure.
Lord,
thank you, Jesus.
Get them, Lord. Get them, Lord. They did this to me. They did that to me. Why are you going after them? Why are you
come
attacking
out
your brother and your sister? Why?
Why you got the problem? Come out.
Why are you going after them? Sister so-and-so, Sister Clark didn't say hi to me, didn't say praise the Lord to me at church. Sister Banana didn't sing that song right. Brother Eggplant, he just messed up on that word. Pastor should have let me preach. Why are you get them, Lord? They rolled their eyes at me. Lord, you know you need to get them. No, the Lord need to get you. Because my grandmother, my great grandmother used to say this. When you point the finger at somebody else, always remember you got three more fingers pointing back at you.
Yes, you do.
And the one with three fingers pointing back at them that's blaming everybody has the most problems. You got the most problem trying to tell God. And God is not a dog. Look, let me show y'all something. God is not a dog. You might say, well, I never said God was a dog. I never said that. When you saying get him, Lord, you, huh? better watch what you say. You treating God like he's a Santa Claus and a dog. Get him, Lord. Get him, Lord. Don't you use that word to a dog to tell somebody, to tell that dog to get somebody? Took him, Max. Get him. Go get him. And you doing God the same way. And God just looking at you like you crazy. Like, why is they telling me to get them and they ain't, and you don't even know in the back of your mind, sister so-and-so might have not said praise God because she's going through something. Don't you realize that brother so-and-so preached that sermon because maybe God told him to? Maybe sister so-and-so sang that song the way she sang it because the anointing was there. Maybe brother so-and-so led that prayer service because God led him to lead that prayer service that way. So we have to understand who our enemy is. Hear me today. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I understand that we go through stuff. We go through stuff all the time. Every day you go through something. I don't care if it's minute. I don't care if it's major. I don't care if it's a medium. I don't care what it is. We all go through something in life. If we never went through a problem, we would never know how good God is. Without the test, there is no testimony. I say it all the time. But let me share something with you. Today is the day that you can be set free. Today is the day. Now, look, let me show y'all something. Out of everything that we are going through right now as a country, as a nation, as a world, I really don't think that we should be throwing the blame game on everybody. We got enough problems in this world. You have enough problems. I have enough problems. So why are we throwing the blame game on people? Why are we playing that game? No need for it. Okay? Hear me. We have enough to pray for. We got a lot to pray for. I don't know why the saints ain't praying. I don't know why we ain't praying. We got a lot to pray for.
Amen.
I don't know why we fighting with each other on brother so-and-so didn't lead that prayer.
Come on, instead of praying, come on.
Brother so-and-so didn't lead that prayer
right. We need to be on our
knees. Pastor should have let me pray. What? Why are you worried about who's praying? As long as they praying and as long as they praying by faith, why are you worried about it? You need to be on your knees praying for yourself. Asking God to take that hate out of you.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we have to look at ourselves first. Look, the songwriter says, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of what? Prayer.
Yeah.
It's not my mother, it's not my father, not my sister or nor my brother, it's me. See, let me show y'all something. I wasn't going to share any of what I'm going to, but I'm going to share this. 2 days ago. See, this is how good God is, and this is what the enemy tries to do to us. In the midst of me going through my test, the enemy has tried to take me out several times in my life. Throughout 33 years of my life, I just celebrated my 33rd birthday. I had a doctor tell me a long time ago, on my parents, because I was a baby then, that they told my parents, prepare to have another child because this one's not going to make it. They literally told my parents this. My parents fell down on their knees and began to pray.
Yes, they prayed the prayer of faith. But God.
They said if he lives, he will not live to see his first birthday. If he lives past his first birthday, he will not live to see his 18th birthday.
Mm.
I just turned 33 on the 7th of November.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Now watch this. This week, I'm not supposed to be talking to y'all, because I was coming home from work, and I was in a major car accident with my car. Now, am I upset? Oh yeah, I'm upset. Car was totaled. I'm upset. I'm out of a car. Not nothing I've never been through before, because I haven't. It was my first car. I lost my car, but I have my life.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful.
Because a car can be replaced.
Yeah.
But you know what? When I went through this accident, I was on the highway, and I was coming, trying to get home to my family. And my car spun out of control. And I hit a wall. Not only hit a wall, but it spun so far that I smacked into some bushes. After hitting the wall, my airbag, deployed or whatever, and it hit me in the chest. Now, before this, during the accident, when the accident first took place, my heart went out of rhythm. In the midst of me going through an accident, so I'm having chest pain while trying to keep control of a car on the highway.
Jesus.
Y'all, my heart, I took one of my hands and grabbed my chest because I was in so much pain in my chest. And it happened out of nowhere. And I grabbed my chest, and I took my other hand, and if anybody that knows me knows that I have cerebral palsy on my right side. I'm born with heart disease. I'll share a little bit of my testimony. Born with heart disease. A disease called tricuspid atresia, where my tricuspid valve was not all the way developed in my heart. So I have a shunt put in my heart to help the blood flow through my heart. But I said all that to say this. I'm holding my chest while I'm in pain in my car while driving on the highway. And it was the Lord that did it, because by nature, by right, I operated my car the way I knew how to. And I drove, I could drive. But the Lord took my hand, the hand that they said I could not use. The hand that I don't really use much because of the cerebral palsy. God took my hand and put my hand on that wheel.
Thank you.
Well,
my right hand, and turned that car.
Thank you, Lord.
I was coming in contact with another car. And the Lord took my hand and turned that car. And it was either hit the other person or hit that wall. And God took me and God turned that car with my hand.
I
went into a wall, but I missed the individual that was ahead of me.
Thank you, Lord God.
And I told the Lord, the first name I called out, I didn't call my mama, I didn't call my daddy,
well, Jesus.
I didn't call my wife.
Hallelujah.
I called on the name of Jesus.
Yeah. I know how that is. Yes.
And when I hit that wall, I thought it was over, but I spent again. And in my head, I said, Lord, I avoided the individual in front of me. At least they're safe. I said, whatever happens to me, You take care of me. If you choose to take me, go ahead. And the Lord had control of that car, even though I was spinning. And at the end of it, I walked out of that accident.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Literally walked out. When the ambulance got there, they checked me out and everything, and they said that my heart was out of rhythm because it was a little bit high. My heart arrhythmias was a little bit high and everything. But the fact is, even the police officer that came to the scene, he said, I'm impressed by you even able to keep control of that car. And I'm thinking in my head, it was nothing but the name of Jesus that kept control of that car. Yeah, my hand was on the wheel, but God kept control of that car.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because I'm not supposed to be using, like, if you know me and if you've seen me before, you know that I don't have much feeling in my right hand. I don't. I'm just going to be honest. But when God took control of my hand, I had all the power in the world to control that car.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm sitting here before you now. I'm supposed to be dead and gone.
The car was total.
The car was total. There was no way for me to drive that car home. My father was there on the scene, and he came to me. He said, we could be preparing you for a funeral next week. And I told my wife, I began to tell my wife, I'm sorry, I lost the car and all this stuff. She said, well, you know what, baby? I'm all right with you losing the car. I don't want to lose you.
Praise God.
She said, you still
praise
here.
Praise the living God.
We can get a new car. I can't get a new you. And I'm like, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'm just laughing because I'm like, yeah, you can get another husband, you know, whatever. And, you know, but I love the fact that God was there for me.
Yes.
In the midst of it all, I still give God the praise. And this is strategizing. Let me show y'all something. And I know I only got a couple more minutes, but I want to show y'all this. Do you know, in the midst of me going through what on top of the accident that I've been in, I'm still going through other stuff. I could have lost it. A normal person that does not know God, does not have the Holy Ghost, that does not know anything about God, could have lost their mind. But I still have the activities of my limbs. I still have the full use of my mind. I started thinking about the good things that God has given me that I still have. I may have lost the car. I may have lost this. I may have lost that. Look, and I'm not giving the devil no glory. Let me tell y'all that now, and I'm letting the devil know now. You ain't getting the glory out of this.
Amen.
I lost a cousin this year. So I've been through this year ain't been great to anybody this year after what we've all been through. And I had to think about that too. Yeah, my little minute, this is minute to God, the things that I'm going through. Many people, this year has not been a good year for anybody, saint or sinner.
Uh-huh,
okay?
Say that.
But we have to understand that God is still in control of everything that we go through. God is still on the throne. God is still able. That's why we read the scripture in Psalms 46, verse 1. He's a present help in the time.
Yes, he is.
Of
yes.
Trouble. He's a present help. He's not a past help.
Come on now.
He's not a future help.
He's
a present
now.
Help.
He's right
a
now.
Present help.
Yes.
He's there right now. He's here
right now.
Now. He's in the middle of your situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
He may not. Look, I said it earlier. He may not answer you right then and there, but yet you have to understand in the back of your mind, he's still there. And yet he's
still there. Yes, yes.
No matter who says what, no matter who does what. Look, Bishop Cook, you ain't got to believe in what God can do for me. But as long as
that's
I believe.
That's right. You need to believe. Come on now.
As long as
preach
I believe. I don't have to believe a thing that God does for you. But as long
that's
as
right.
you believe.
I believe. Come on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Preach, young man.
Then God can do. See, as long as you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that's all
say
you
that,
need.
Say that. Say that. Say that.
For
yeah.
God to move. See,
mm-hmm.
and look at this. You want to know another way for God to move? I'm sorry, I'm going here, but another way
that's
for God
right.
to
that's all right. Take
move,
your time. Go ahead.
I haven't been on here in a while, so I got a lot of
that's
I
right.
got a lot of spiritual I got a lot of spiritual
I know. We know.
Grace and frustration to build up
look, look, look.
For the enemy.
Look. Your bishop got you covered. Go ahead, young man. Go ahead.
Let me share this with you. Another way for God to move through praise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
How do I know? The Bible says he dwells in the midst of what?
Midst praise. Of the praise of his people. Come on now.
He dwells in the midst of praises, which means he moves.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
He moves.
Come on.
Yes.
You have shaken heaven when you praise him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you the best time to praise him. It's not when you're getting things from God. It's not. It's
no,
not
it's
when
right
you get
in the midst.
Nice car.
No.
It's not when you get that nice car. It's good to
it's
praise
in the valley,
him
honey. It's when you're in the valley.
That,
in the valley.
There's some people that praise him when they got good, and there's some people that won't praise him when they get stuff.
That's true.
They
amen.
They,
say
they,
that.
They like, they don't. They done with God. Like, okay, I got my.
I got what I want. Preach,
amen.
Young man.
But the Bible says every day is a day of thanksgiving. The songwriter
yes,
says.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Every day.
Say that.
We about to celebrate Thanksgiving, y'all.
But
every
day is a fake day of Thanksgiving around here. Come on.
So every day we should praise him. Every day.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
can give God praise. And like
yes,
I said,
amen.
The best time to give God praise is when you're going through.
That's right. Right
because
in the middle of
one,
it. Come on.
No, number one, it moves God. Number two, it confuses the enemy. Why?
Yes, it does.
What do you mean? What do you mean it confuses the enemy? Well, if you look at your test and your trial, and your test and your trial is trying to take you over, and you yet praising God, the enemy's going to look at you like, wait a minute, I thought I had him, just like he did with Job. He's going to look at you like, wait a minute. He's going to think, look, let me show y'all something. The enemy's going to think you crazy.
Yep. Right. Especially when you praise him in advance. Come on now.
The enemy gonna think you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy gonna think you
out
lost
your mind.
Halfway lost it. How in the world? How in the world is Brother Adam praising him? And I done
and
he
I
done
done
been
did
in a car
this.
Accident.
Mm-hmm.
He done been in a car accident. He done been through this. He done been through that. How is he
and
praising
he still
him?
Praising
how
him.
Is he still?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I took him out because he ain't been on the radio and he ain't been on the radio in a couple
you
of
weeks. Ain't did
so,
nothing.
But now he's over here talking about God. Yet
again,
still going through a test. Why is this crazy individual doing this? What? I thought I had him, but no, you
nope.
ain't got nothing.
You ain't got nothing over here, partner. Mm-mm.
See, that's the same thing with God. God confused the enemy at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes,
that's where it leads
he
right back there.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He confused the enemy. He tried him three times. Three different times. And God won all three battles. He tried him. He tried. And let me show y'all something. Well, some of y'all, I hear y'all. Some of y'all, well, the devil's not gonna try me. You know, I'm anointed and I'm appointed and I'm. Excuse me, hold on. If he tried Jesus, you best believe he gonna try you.
Amen.
What makes you special? And let me show y'all something.
You better say
don't,
that. Tell him, honey. Tell him.
Don't think just because you highly anointed that you can't be tried and that you can't
Amen.
Be taken under.
Amen. Say
and
that.
And don't ever think that you cannot be taken under because a title
yes.
does not scare the enemy.
Sure. You better say that. Preach, young man.
A title does not
Amen.
Scare the
Tell
does
the
not
truth.
Scare the devil out of his shoes.
Come on, don't do a thing. Don't do a thing.
A pastor saying you're a minister, saying you're a bishop,
matter.
Saying you this.
Don't matter.
It don't matter.
It don't matter.
But what makes the enemy tremble? Demons tremble at the name of Jesus.
Of Jesus, yes.
What,
Say
what
that.
Destroys the yoke? Is the anointing. The anointing
yes,
is the thing
yes,
that destroys
yes.
the yoke. It is
mm-hmm.
the anointing that destroys the enemy's kingdom. It is the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
It is the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is not your title. It is not my title. It is not my title as minister, but it is the anointing that is resonating through my life.
Come on.
That destroys,
teach, young man.
That
teach. Teach
that
now.
Destroys,
get it straight.
That destroys,
help him get it straight.
Mm-hmm. It is not my title.
That's right.
Amen. I said this to somebody. A title don't mean a hill of a bean if
nope.
you ain't living up to your title.
Thank you.
And you, come on, you got to have a righteous living. Come on.
Yes.
Tell somebody.
If,
say it loud for
look,
the people in the back. Come on.
I'm going to say it like this. I'm a father. But if I ain't doing my fatherly duties, I am not a father.
Amen.
I'm
Come
a deadbeat.
On, say that.
I'm a deadbeat. And we got some deadbeat saints.
Yes.
Tell the truth.
If
Go
I'm
ahead.
Not doing my husbandly duties, I am not a husband.
That's
I'm
right.
an infidel.
That's right. Teach. Somebody better
I
listen.
Might have the, I might have the title of a husband. I might have the title as a father, but that does not mean a hill of a bean to nobody if I'm not living up to the title.
You better say that. Come on now.
If I'm not living up to, look, if I'm not living
All right.
up to the level of the anointing, I cannot, there's no need for me to even have it if I'm not living up to the level of anointing that God has given
yes,
me.
Yes. Amen.
There is no need for me to have the title if I'm not living up to the level of anointing of that title.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And there are so many preachers, and I'm sorry, y'all.
No, don't be sorry. Tell the truth. Make
so
somebody free, honey.
There are so many preachers that have the title but don't even know the full knowledge of what they're doing.
Don't have a hip, don't, come on. You better, come on. Don't have a job description down pat at all.
They have the title of a pastor. They have a title
but
of
don't
a
have
minister,
a clue.
But they don't know the function of
come
what
on.
The minister or the pastor does.
Supposed to be right. doing. You.
They think that a title of a pastor is supposed to be preaching every Sunday in a
All right,
pulpit.
Amen.
No, that's not the title. The title of a pastor, the title of a minister any in general, evangelist, prophet, bishop, elder, whatever you want to call yourself, do you know that ain't nothing but titles for a servant?
They just positions of service, honey. Positions of service. You better tell somebody. Them not titles.
You are serving.
Positions
are
of service. Because you're a servant. Mm-hmm.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what title you are. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you're a minister. I don't care if you're
it's
a evangelist.
Position of service.
You are in a position of service.
Yeah.
Of servitude. You better get it straight. Come on. That's all you are.
You
a
are not in the
all
position.
Day.
You are not in the position to
be
live,
served.
Let. You just to live any kind of way. That's not
nope.
the title of your position.
You got to
your
live above reproach. Come
serving.
On. Amen. Amen. Glory.
And not just
glory.
Not just in serving the people.
Uh-oh.
It's not just telling them, but living a holy life before them.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you.
I thank God for being here.
Hallelujah. We thank God for you being here. Hallelujah.
I thank God for y'all praying for me, and I thank God for being here again.
Amen.
Again. I'm cutting it short because I'm still high off the word, but I'm going to cut it short. It's time for me to go. But I want y'all to continue to pray. Continue to pray for others. Continue to pray for each other in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you so much. As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the only way biblically to make it to heaven in Jesus' name. God bless you. Bishop Cook, thank you for allowing us to come on again. I know I have not been here in a couple weeks, but I thank God for you for holding this show up in prayer and holding me up in prayer. I thank God. And the sister that I heard, I don't know your name, but thank
Apostle
God for
Zeta.
You too.
Apostle Zeta.
Apostle, thank you.
Before you go, young man.
Yes.
See, that's
yes.
I just wanted you to know. Hallelujah, saints of God. Welcome to the extended version of the summit. The Holy Spirit is moving, and He is upon us. Hallelujah. And today, we just wanted to come by, Apostle Zeta and I, as Paul and Silas, because we love this young man. And
yes,
we know that this young man is a man of God, a man of standards. And we know that the enemy is going to come at him and come at him hard. So we wanted to come by today and praise God in advance and declare and decree and to encourage his heart and let him know that we know, hallelujah, the victory is already his.
Oh,
hallelujah, because, Father, we heard a young man that trusts and believes and stands on your holy word.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we heard a young man, hallelujah, that through it all has been praying and praising your holy name, Father God.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
We heard a young man, Father God, that in the times of trouble, he called on your holy name because he knew your holy name was the only name that could save him.
That's it.
And Father, I heard your word say, when we cry out to you, those who love you, hallelujah, you will hearken unto us. You will answer us and you will do. And we came by to declare and decree with this young man, as he so beautifully encouraged others today, we came by to say, we want to thank you for your servant's heart.
Thank you.
Yes, we want to thank you and praise God for your transparency.
Oh,
we want to thank you, hallelujah, for having a heart after righteousness and holiness, because
hallelujah.
That's a heart after God's
heart. After God.
We
want to
thank you, young minister, for being a true man, which means meaningful, active, and
Lord,
necessary. You are that in your family. You are that in your church. You are that in your community.
Yes.
And I know that God is pleased with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank you.
Thank
for talking
Jesus.
And keeping it straight with the servant leaders. Because in 2 Peter, we are supposed to be accountable to one another.
Oh, yeah.
We are supposed to tell each other the truth.
That's it.
See, we got too many preachers talking about touch not my anointing, touch not my anointing. Well, if you're not flowing in the anointing, excuse us. We're going to step to you with a word from the Lord.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it goes.
Yes,
because,
Lord.
See, the Lord also told us, when we find our brothers in a fault, those of us who are spiritual, we supposed to condemn, we supposed to restore you with love.
That's right.
And the word of God through prayer and fasting.
Yes.
Like this young minister said,
I love him because he's 33 years old, the same age Jesus was when he left this earth.
All right.
Okay, but he's still here preaching and teaching in Jesus' place, in Jesus' stead.
Yes.
They told him, you ain't going to make it. But the Lord said, oh, yes, he is.
Ooh, yeah.
See, there is a special anointing upon you.
That's it.
Young Minister Adam.
Yeah.
We see and feel greatness upon you because we hear your love of God. We feel your love of God's people.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And you have the courage to tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Glory.
So as you going through the midst of your trials and tribulations, Apostle Zeta and I came by to get in the boat with you and Jesus.
Oh yes.
And begin to praise God. In the middle of the storm, and let the devil know, not only are you praising him in the middle of the storm, you got some sister, mother, teacher friends that's going to stand in the boat with you.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know I enjoyed this message. So, Apostle Zayden, I want you to come on in and give this young man some words because, look, we done did this. Well, look, we on the extended version now. We on the extended version. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because, look, we going to let him get some more stuff out in a second. Come on, brother, come on.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to say this first right now, that as she was praying, I was hearing the Lord. The Lord saying, it is well with your soul. I enjoyed the message, hallelujah, very much. And I thank the Lord for your boldness.
Yes, ma'am.
I thank the Lord for your tenacity. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To just hold up no matter what. And to praise, you know, when you were saying, talking about praising the Lord, hallelujah, while you're going through, I can really relate to that because I do it myself. And you can praise your way through.
Yes,
hallelujah,
yes,
because
yes, you can.
The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Now, and then while you're praising him, while you're going through, hallelujah. It's letting others know also around you, praise God, that it is all about God. It's not about anything
else. It is.
God. So I enjoyed the message.
I'm
not going to try to go over it, but it really blessed my soul. Praise God. And I know everyone else that heard is blessing their soul as well. So God bless you. And continue on.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you and your family.
Yes, amen.
You.
Hallelujah. We just wanted to come by today and let you know that we were here. So many times, you know, when ministers are preaching and teaching and really bringing it for the Lord, you know, folks, it's sad, but a lot of servant leaders get real quiet. You know what I'm saying? Because instead of saying glory to God, he's bringing the word. He's telling the truth. They feel like more like they being exposed. They getting the covers pulled off stuff. You know what I'm saying? So they not going to encourage nobody.
No.
But see, I know this young man comes from good stock, excellent stock.
You
know what
Lord.
I'm saying? And you can tell that by his humility. His mother and fathers are servants of the Most High God.
Thank
you know, and so you know, and it shows. It shows. I've never laid physical eyes on this young man, but I would know him when I seen him because his light would be shining so bright you would recognize it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
At high noon in the middle of the Mojave Desert. You know what I'm saying? That's how bright that light would shine.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I'm just going to keep it real. Yeah, in the middle of the desert, you can still see his light. He just be flashing, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, and it's so refreshing to have young people, you know, that's really bringing it. You know, you're a young man with an old soul. Because
it's an anointed
soul. And we all know that God is the same yesterday,
today and forevermore. So, you know, when we bring in his word, you know, it ain't going to be no different than when Moses brought it, or, you know, when Paul brought it, or, you know, Matthew, Mark, or Luke brought it. You know what I'm saying? Peter brought it. John, you know, it's going to be the same. Because, you know, the other thing that we need to understand as servant leaders, it doesn't matter. You see, I don't look at, you know, I see the office of the apostle, the called and the sent. And as a called and sent person, yep, I do operate in the position of service as a pastor and of a prophet and of an evangelist. And I never stop being any of that just because I'm now serving as a bishop. You see, you know, people call me whatever position of service I happen to be serving in. You know, that I'm with that. But I understand I'm an apostle.
Amen.
But the one thing, the most important thing that I understand is this. We're teachers.
Yeah.
We've been called to serve the body of Christ by teaching them the word of God in a way that they can apply it to their daily lives. And that's what you are doing, Adam. You got a head start on a lot of preachers because, see, with the way you're preaching, there's a lot of older preachers that still need to get where you're at right now. You're there at 33.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
They're trying to get there at 63. Because, see, they're so wrapped up in the tradition and the politics and the clicking and the control and the, you know, all that other stuff that prevents you from just doing the work of the Lord and enjoying the people that's doing the work of the Lord in the vineyard with you.
Well,
amen.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. The ones that are clicking, please don't come on this show.
You know, I'm telling you, please, keep it moving.
I'll say that, and I say that for real, because my former pastor used to always say, if she see any clicking going on in the church, I'm going to click it right on out of here.
There you go.
On,
see,
you
I like her.
Here,
I love her. Mm-hmm.
If you
That's
come
what
on
I tell
here,
people.
And you come clicking, I'm going to click you right on off of here.
Oh, no, I will have you. See, I already, look, Minister Adam, I already got you covered. See, there's a procedure in place already. It's called PTD, and that stands for they will have permanent technical difficulty, which means every time they number pops in, it's going to click out. You know what I'm saying? So we don't worry about that.
No, let them come on. Let them come. Let them come because they need to hear it. They need to hear the word. But let me say this. I love the fact that that God has called me to do this, and I'm humble about it. And
amen.
I love,
you got to be.
See the thing is, I love ministry. I love ministry. It's a part of my. It is a part of my life. It is a part of my DNA.
It is my life.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holiness is a part of me. Holiness is a part of my DNA.
Praise him.
I'm not gonna go there no more. Look,
come on. Hallelujah.
Not,
we want to thank you,
not,
Jesus.
This is not. This is not a democracy when it comes to the work of God.
He is a God Almighty. Amen. 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 Amen.
Now I don't agree. I'm gonna say this: the ones that love our president. I understand that you have your beliefs. I have mine. But let me tell y'all something. When it comes to the kingdom of God, see, and this is my own personal opinion when I say this. This is no shot to anybody. But our president right now, our current president wants to be, in my point of view, he wants to be a dictator. My point
Can't
of view.
Do it.
Now, underneath natural leadership in presidential office, you cannot be a dictator. It's a democracy in the United States. But in the body of Christ,
it should be a dictatorship, and the only dictator is Jesus Christ.
God. That's it. That's it. Amen. Say that now. Say that.
It should not be a democracy. Yeah. It should be a dictatorship.
That's right. Just
and,
one Lord, one Spirit, one faith. Come on.
When it comes to the Word of God, it's His Word anyway, and if He tells us to preach it this way and we preach it another
way we do
you
it.
Are now sinning. You are now being.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we want to pray. We just wanted to drop by today and do little, and we do the adult takeover because we're like the mothers around. We're like the network mothers around here. So we just drop in on people and just let them know.
Yeah.
And we just wanted you to know that we truly do care about you, and we've been praying for
yes,
you,
ma'am.
And we just love you and your family. We've been
ma'am.
Praying for your beautiful wife, your children, because we know when you go through, your whole family goes through. You know,
yes,
and so we're still
yes,
praying for God to comfort you and your family. You know, we
yes,
know that greatness is upon you. We know
yes,
that it's 11:59. Hallelujah. We know that we got a praise report right around the corner, and we can't
yes,
wait.
Lord.
We can't wait. We can't wait because, see, my young brother, you are being obedient to God's word. You are walking in it. You are breathing. Even in it is your DNA, and He has said you can ask whatever you will and it shall be
yes,
done. He has said that He
yes,
will protect you and He will fight your battles. He said
yes,
that no weapons formed against you shall prosper. He has already
yes,
said He will provide your every need according to His riches
well,
and glory.
Yes,
he said He will keep your body strong and in good health because He is Jehovah Rapha and He is able. He has said
yes,
that He is a God of love and relationship. He will make sure that all that you have the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the love to heal, to help people heal their relationships, to help restore, hallelujah, their faith,
mm-hmm,
to help them bloom and grow and be delivered.
Yeah.
God has given you much, young man, and you are doing a great work with it, and we commend you. We
yeah,
give you a hallelujah salute, and we just praise
it
God
is
for you. This has been Bishop
yeah,
Jalene Cook, hallelujah, and if this kind
hallelujah,
of program just blesses me, hallelujah, to be the woman of God and the owner and operator of the Spirit Alive Network. And
yes,
we are
Lord,
so glad that the Summit is a program here on the Transformation Station. We want to thank everybody for listening. Hallelujah. If anybody else had anything to say, we want you to know all you have to do is press that 1, and we will let Minister Adam have a word with you because this young man has too much in him to just preach and leave. Amen. So we're
amen,
going to do a new thing at the first of the year. We are going to, you know, allow him to start talking, and we having conversations with him because he can hold it down. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you
that's
acknowledge
it,
Christ in all that you do. And from
that's
our household
it,
to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Continue to have a blessed afternoon, everyone. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
God bless everybody.
Thank you, and we love you.
We love
you.
Amen.